What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I am joined this morning from the University of Minnesota. Mary Meyer is back with us. Mary, good morning to you.
Good morning, Denny. Happy New Year.
And to you and yours as well. Yeah, we're in a bit of a roller coaster temperature-wise here again. But hey, it's January 11th, right? We're used to this.
We're used to this. I thought we could talk about some garden resolutions today.
Let's do that.
Yeah. We'll get that into the schedule.
And certainly we want to welcome our listener questions as well. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, we would like to hear from you either by phone or by text. Here's the usual number, 651-461-9226. Now, you can call it in or you can text it in, whichever is easier to get to Mary. 651-461-9226. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about, these are fun resolutions now. You don't have to use about dieting or, you know, any kind of reason.
No, nothing
like that.
Right. They're fun resolutions. And in fact, I came across in my email two different sources of garden resolutions. One, the Chicago Botanic Garden sent out a Happy New Year, but 50 New Year's resolutions for gardeners, and they've divided them by winter, spring, summer, and fall. And lots of ideas for what you could do this time of year. In the winter, some of their suggestions are hang a bird feeder, build a compost bin, invest in an excellent pruner, order your seeds, think about new plant combinations, prune a crabapple, pear tree, really any fruit tree, but they're saying into an espalier. So this is the flat type that you see. Occasionally we do get a question on how to make an espalier. Very difficult. There's a challenging resolution.
Now, what is that?
That's you see that a lot in European gardens, and there are some at the Arboretum. But you prune a fruit tree into usually it's one plane. So it's flat against the wall or sometimes flat with wires. And sometimes it's a shape with arms, two arms up high and two lower. Sometimes it's in a fan shape. So you prune it till it's just in one plane. And more of a decorative ornamental idea. It does limit the amount of fruit you get, and it does take quite a bit of work. I have never done that personally, but I know some people have done this if they just have a small space and they want to grow fruit trees. They grow them with wiring. Usually it's always with wires and supports to hold the limbs in a very specific manner. So amazing.
You know what, that's a great idea. I wonder if something I've thought about, and I haven't done it, but is to make an above-ground garden.
Oh, yes, that's on the list.
Is it?
Build a raised bed, yes.
How do you do that?
Well, I think what they're suggesting for winter now are projects that are somewhat construction projects, because with a raised bed, you need some type of a frame to hold the soil on top of the ground. And so how you would build that or construct that, put that together. Now, the Minnesota State Horticultural Society actually gives these raised beds to communities and community gardens with projects with their garden in a box system. And that's actually going on right now, where people and communities can sign up for that. But the Hort Society and the extension.umn.edu websites both have information on how you build a raised bed. So if you want something fairly permanent, usually you get some type of lumber that's not been treated for that would affect the plants you're growing there.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, the construction projects do this. And usually these beds are not huge. They're 4, maybe 6 feet across, so that you can reach into the center from both sides without having to get in there and walk on top of them. But yeah, raised bed. Now, that's a great garden resolution if you have questionable soil, and some of the urban soils are questionable with what contaminants might be in there, or if you just want a smaller space where you can really do a more intensive gardening, raised beds really a good way to go.
Yeah, and plus, as an ulterior motive, there's less lawn to mow.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a plus. Yeah, there's a silver lining there. But seriously, it is something we've considered here for a few years now. We're talking, among other things, New Year's resolution for gardeners. And but again, of course, if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a lawn or garden question. Here's one, Mary. Is it okay, the texter sent, to trim my catalpa now?
Yes, wintertime is a really good time to do pruning of many of our trees, all the deciduous trees and really evergreen trees as well. So yes, this is a good time. And I would say a catalpa is a really fun and interesting plant to grow as a tree. Many of our listeners might not be as familiar with that. It has very large heart-shaped leaves, beautiful large white flowers in the springtime, and it does have a conspicuous seed pod. It looks like a long, narrow bean pod, although it's not in the bean family. But a catalpa is a wonderful choice for diversity in our landscapes. We don't see as many of them as we could, I think.
You know, we've heard over the last year or two about no mow May, things like that. Are people looking at their lawns differently? Like maybe they want to have a little wilder look, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm not sure what neighbors think, but people, are they considering that yet?
I think people really are considering that. We see a lot more of that. The other New Year's resolution I got from the other source I got in my email was from the National Wildlife Federation, and their number one resolution was turn an area of turf grass into a native garden bed. So if you're wanting to attract butterflies, wildlife, birds, etc., most of that wildlife is not attracted to traditional turf. But if you change a portion of your turf over to have flowers in it for pollinators, or add native plants with berries that birds like, or make more habitat for birds and animals, that will really change the number of wildlife that you have on your property. And I think, you know, if you're thinking about this, I would suggest doing it in one area or portion of your garden. And be purposeful about it. If it's going to look questionable to your neighbors, of course, talk to your neighbors. There are signs that you can get from the Wildlife Federation and Metro Blooms and so on that talk about native plants. And this is a pollinator habitat or a butterfly garden. So that education is a lot of what will make your neighbors more comfortable if you change your landscape.
I love that idea. I know we've talked about it here. That may be something for this this coming growing season. Mary, hang on. We're going to take a bit of a break here. Let's invite our listeners to ask any kind of a lawn or garden question, please. 651-461-9226. We'll be back. 17 degrees in the Twin Cities overnight tonight. We could get 1 to 2 inches of new snow. It'll end sometime tomorrow. Then cold weather comes in for a couple of days. Right now, 17 on News Talk A3O. This is WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back. Yes, indeed. Our friends at Great Garage Floors know the value of this particular show, and they become a title sponsor for this hour. So we're grateful for that. Great Garage Floors is a Cicioland company I've talked about for probably, well, close to 17 years now. That's how long ago I had them redo that old garage floor of mine. Great company, and we thank them for joining us here in the Smart Garden Show. Great Garage Floors. It is 17 degrees in the Twin Cities. If it's just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. Now, if you want to call us or text us, either one, we'd love to hear your voice if you want to call or send a text. 651-461-9226. Mary, another text. See if I can find it here. There it is. This listener has a number of indoor plants. Some always live indoors, a peace lily. Some are just wintering indoors, geraniums. Is it better to fertilize them, question is, with a weak application every time I water, or a stronger application monthly or quarterly?
I think a weak application of fertilizer is really the safer way to go. You know, in the wintertime, we have such low light conditions, short days and low light, that usually fertilizer is not the limiting factor with houseplants indoors. Light is usually the limiting factor. So I would go with a weaker solution. Now, both of these, the peace lily and the geraniums, are houseplants that can bloom indoors in the winter. And so if you've got blooms on these, then I definitely would do the fertilization, but I would still stick with the lower fertilization. Houseplants that don't have any flowers, I'm not so concerned about them fertilizing in the winter.
Here is another indoor question. After Christmas, Dexter says, I purchased a Thanksgiving cactus at a local nursery. It is a small plant, and I discovered it blooming yesterday. More, I wonder if it will bloom Thanksgiving time.
Yes, hopefully it will bloom at Thanksgiving time. So the Thanksgiving cactus or Christmas cactus bloom when the days are short. So any time after September is our equinox, the 12 hours, days and night. After that, we go down to about 9 hours of daylight, 8 to 9 hours of daylight. And that shorter days below 12 hours of light will induce the Thanksgiving cactus or Christmas cactus to bloom. So as long as you keep it in a location where it's exposed to short days and not human lights on it after dark, that will help it bloom. The other thing is the cool temperatures. So 50 degrees, cool temperatures, 55 for a couple of weeks. Those cool conditions will also induce flowers on Thanksgiving cactus.
If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions. When we first started the show, we talked about being New Year. Some resolutions for gardeners. Do you have any other one to mention?
Yes. So the ones that I thought were really interesting on the National Wildlife Federation's were provide a water source if you have birds, especially that you're feeding. I know we spend a lot of time with bird feeders, but providing a water source, and of course for us in Minnesota, this means some type of electricity or something to keep the water from freezing. So water is really critical, especially in the wintertime, but year-round, to have a bird bath or a water source. Their other resolution was aim for 70% native plants. So if you think about, take an inventory. How about that for a resolution? Take an inventory of the plants on your property and list those and see which ones are native, which ones are non-native. And just, I think mostly about diversity. There are good native and non-native plants, but our native plants are well adapted to our situation, our climate, and they provide a lot of food and habitat for native wildlife. But just increasing the diversity on your property is a great idea. And thinking about what percentage of the plants on your property are native is a good idea for New Year's gardening resolutions.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We had a listener send a text, and maybe we could kind of describe what it was for those listeners joined us a little bit late. A listener said, what is the word Mary used to describe one plane trees? What was that?
Oh, that espalier. So that's a French word. The espaliers is, E-S-P-A-L-I-E-R, espalier. And that is a method of training. I'm sure you can Google that word and you'll find all sorts of additional adjectives to describe that and variations on espalier. And the two places I know where there are espaliers are locally, at the Arboretum in the home demonstration garden, there are fruit trees. I'm trying to remember what kind of apples they are. They're espaliered in the home demonstration garden. And then at Kelly and Kelly Nursery in Long Lake, he has espaliered some ginkgos that are part of his nursery, the retail nursery, that are beautiful espaliers. Those are the two places I know where you can see them. But yeah, a picture is worth a thousand words. And what is an espaliered fruit tree?
Oh, that's neat. Espalier. Let's grab a phone call before we take a look at that forecast. Marilyn calling in from Morrison County this morning. Thank you hanging on, Marilyn. What is your question for Mary?
I have an infestation of the squash vine borer in my soil. How do I get rid of that?
Marilyn, that's a very frustrating pest. So the squash vine borer specifically does like zucchini squash, the summer squash, as well as winter squash. There are certain kinds it favors, but boy, it can be devastating for squash. One of the simplest tricks that I have heard, I keep forgetting to do this myself, is to plant the squash later. So, of course, we want to get our squash seeds in the ground and doing it early. But there's usually just one life cycle of these in Minnesota. So it's around late June is when those adult moths will fly, lay their eggs, and then by late July, we see all the devastation with the borers in the stem. But if you can plant your squash again, I'd plant it, plant early, but plant later. So later is closer to July 4th. And then your second crop of squash, you can hopefully have that without the squash vine borer. But the other trick is that you've got to be vigilant in watching for any of these borers. Sometimes you can see the live insects floating around. They're like a large wasp looking like insect, but they are very hard to see because they move quickly. They're flying insects. Look for those. Be vigilant. There are some collars you can put around to try to stop, aluminum foil or something to try to prevent where the insect would lay its eggs. But watching and looking at the base of the squash for the first signs of frass, or that's the manure, the manure coming out of the borer itself. And you can then take a coat wire and try to get the borer out and kill the borer, cover up the squash vine with soil, and hopefully that will grow through it. But very challenging insect. So I'd encourage you to read up about it at extension.umn.edu. The squash vine borer is, it's hard not to have that because it's very, very common, very prevalent for us.
Wow. A labor of love, indeed.
Yes.
All right, Mary, hang on. We're going to take a break, have a look at that forecast, and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show this morning, brought to us every week by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, again presented by Great Garage Floors. Denny Long here, along with Mary Meyer from the U of M, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. We're talking New Year's resolutions for gardeners as well this morning. In between time, we'll pick up on your phone calls or text messages for Mary. Let's see. Let's grab another one. When digging a new garden space, is it okay to dig the grass up and turn the it upside down, leave it there, or should you remove it completely? Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. If you wait a long time, the grass will eventually decompose if you turn it over. But if you're doing it for a vegetable garden you want to plant next week or right away, that grass is going to persist there. So if you really want to put in new plants or different plants and don't want to have the grass bothering you, take it off. Remove it. So much of our lawn grass has wonderful rhizomes, like Kentucky bluegrass has, and those rhizomes will easily grow even though they're cut into pieces. So if you don't want to be, unless you leave it totally alone and bury it, it's going to persist. So I would take it off.
Okay. What's going on at the Arboretum? Usually it doesn't matter what time of year. There's always something going on.
Yes, there's something going on. Well, today is a wellness fair at the Arboretum. And there are classes, there are vendors, there are things to learn about and do. So that's an interesting thing going on at the Arboretum just for today. But I was looking at the website and chuckling because no matter what, there's something blooming at the Arboretum, no matter what the weather is. And, of course, the traditional flowers we think of, the orchids are blooming in the conservatory. There are many of them out there, and they are beautiful. But there are also many of our evergreen trees, the hemlock, spruce. They have a lot of cones on and are interesting. Spruce especially have a heavy cone set this year. Things like Kentucky coffee tree, redbud, those deciduous trees really hold their seeds in the winter, and so they are very attractive. And, of course, walking around is easy now with very little snow cover. You can take a walk on the 3-mile walk at the Arboretum. Inside, there's the Rootstock Cafe, a new cafe at the Arboretum, really wonderful local foods, and several different art exhibits are there. So there's always a lot going on at the Arboretum.
Sometimes going there, it almost feels like a whole nother world. You walk through the
yes.
gate. And it's
it
a whole
is like
world.
Another world. It now, does. February 1st is the flower show. So February and March, the beautiful flowers will be indoors. And the flower show is free with admission. So you need a ticket to go to the Arboretum for most days. But if you're a member, there's no charge for the flower show. That's free with admission to the Arboretum. So that's something that's coming up and will be really fun to see, to look forward to. It's always really a different world when it gets to be the flower show.
For sure. 651-461-9226 if you want to call in your garden question to Mary or send a text. And here is another text to Mary. This listener would like to have a green plant in my master bedroom, which is mostly white. I'm thinking of a 5-foot plant or tree. What would you suggest? Comes from Kay.
Well, Kay, I would recommend something in the Dracaena family, or corn plant is a common name for that. But this is these are large plants that really tolerate lower light conditions, and they have a various size leaves. Some are wide, some are more narrow, but a Dracaena is something that I would look for. And you can buy these that are just a foot tall, or you can buy 5 foot tall ones, and they might have more than one plant in a pot or in a container, but I think a Dracaena would be a good choice. There are some other philodendrons, the large leaf philodendrons. They tend to either be a viney plant that you need to grow on a post to get the height, or you just let them sprawl along on the floor. So philodendrons, really good for low light, but they take a little bit more time or attention. They take more attention to get them to train on a pole. Ficus, there are a lot of ficus that gets into the fig family. They usually require more light. Now, when you have a white room, that's going to reflect a lot of light. And some of the ficus, those are big plants. So that's, you get into the taller plants. But I'd start with a Dracaena.
All right, very good. Here is another text, and it goes like this. I am the jade lady with huge jades all over my house. I recently found mealybugs on three of my plants. What is your solution? How can I be sure they aren't spreading? It's scary.
Oh, gosh. How wonderful to be known as a jade lady. And in a reference to plants as well, because you have so many. Mealybugs are a big problem. These are very difficult to control. I've thrown out plants because of mealybugs. So you need to get these plants into the shower, wash them off as much as possible. Mealybugs like dry conditions. And, of course, that's what we have in the winter. So they tend to go crazy in the winter, increasing. And so I put them in the shower, wash them off as much as possible. Then I try insecticidal soaps for killing them. And if that doesn't work, you need to go to a systemic chemical. That's the really heavy hitter that would be taken up through the roots of the plant to kill internally those mealybugs. And if you don't want to do that, that's the point where you throw out the plant. Now, I will say that you have to be very careful with mealybugs because they can be on the pot, underneath the pot. And if you have the pot setting on a plant stand, these mealybugs can even be on the plant stand itself. Mm. Yes, amazing. So you got to clean everything that's surrounding that area with a plant. So it's really amazing. I know other gardeners, Julie and I, Julie Weisenhorn that does the show also, we had a discussion about mealybugs on plant stands. Amazing. And we both had this. We cleaned up our plant thinking these were great. And here the mealybugs were below the plant on the plant stand. So really have to be vigilant in cleaning everything that you've got.
Boy, something. I tell you what, before we break, let's grab a phone call, Mary. John is calling in from River Falls, I believe, this morning. Thank you, John. What is your question for Mary?
Yeah, good morning. I've got a big old black walnut tree here with a lot of nuts on it, and I'd like to replant the nuts. And I'm wondering about the depth or water or fertilizer. I don't have any problems with squirrels because over here we eat them.
Okay. Yeah, so black walnuts, they do a pretty good job of seeding themselves around and growing up. So they do need to get through the winter with the cold treatment that we have our typical winters. So sowing them any time fall through the winter time, I would plant them 2 to 3 inches deep, and then just mark the area where you plant them. There are a lot of insect issues with black walnuts, so the seeds, the nuts themselves have a lot of damage from insects usually. So I would say that you might only get 50% germination from the individual seeds, the nuts, because of insect damage that's in there. But it's fairly easy. I had a black walnut tree on my property, and yes, lots of seedlings can come up from that.
All right. Very good. I'll tell you what, I'm getting a little bit of a signal here. Let's take a break, Mary, and be right back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show brought to us each week by Great Garage Floors. Stay with us. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show presented by Great Garage Floors. We appreciate their sponsorship keeping this show on the air. 17 degrees now in the Twin Cities. Mary Meyer answering questions from our listeners either by phone or by text as usual. But Mary, we have been talking about New Year's resolutions as far as pertaining to gardening, lawns and gardens. What else do you have?
Yeah, garden resolutions. Well, sign up for a community garden plot. In January, I know the city of Plymouth where I live, that's the time when gardeners sign up for their garden plots. So think about that. Look at your what's available in the city or community where you live if you want a community garden. What about getting to know orchids? So the orchid show I mentioned at the Arboretum, the conservatory has a lot of orchids blooming. But maybe there's a specific plant that you want to get to know more of. Hosta, maybe daylilies, something like that. We have many plant societies. You name a plant and there's a plant society that goes along with it that is a group of people who are really experts on specific plants. So in the wintertime, you could also do reading or take a class. There are garden classes that are available at the Arboretum, also through the Minnesota Horticulture Society. So stock up on learning at this time of year. And then the last one I have is ask your grandparents what they grew in their gardens. So what people used to grow, thinking back on what plants were you growing, what vegetables or flowers were favorites of your ancestors.
That's a great idea. Do it sooner rather than later, for sure.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yep. Boy. Texter says, I have a peace lily that is not growing. What's the best thing to do for it?
Well, I would do two things. I would turn it over and examine the roots. Take the pot off and see if you see any white roots. If you don't see any white roots, then it's really maybe does need repotted. The other thing is I would change the light that it's in. Peace lilies are known for not requiring much light, but I would try to put it in a brighter window where it gets more light this time of year. So repotting it or changing the light.
Okay. Listener asks, how do you propagate passion flowers?
Oh, my gosh, I'd have to look it up. Okay. Passion flowers, yeah. So passion flowers are really beautiful, big, kind of exotic-looking, vine-like plant. But I would have to look that up. I would say that's probably going to be a cutting, that you would take a stem cutting, so a piece of the stem with a few leaves on at the tip, and then root that. And that would probably be in the springtime when the plant is starting to grow. But I can look that up if we have enough time. We're getting low on time.
But, we are getting low. We just have a couple minutes to go. Well, maybe that's something to say for a future show.
Right,
Should a 3 to 5 year old tree be watered now since there's no snow? There's a great question.
No. Well, when the ground is frozen, the water is not going to be the water just won't sink into the soil and the plant won't be able to take it up. So any water you put in the ground now will freeze before it gets to the plant roots. So there's no point in putting the water out there now. And frozen water actually might make things worse. So when the ground thaws out enough, then think about watering. 3 to 5 years old, hopefully it's got some established roots, but we had such a dry fall this year. It's something for all of our gardeners to think about, especially as we get into the springtime. Hopefully we will have more water and rainfall.
Okay. We'll have to do a quick one here. A listener planning on to plant some native wildflower seeds inside to grow, put out in the yard in the spring. I guess their question is terms, the difference between stratified and cold stratified.
Yeah, that's stratification normally means a cold treatment, but sometimes it's colder than others, or moist stratification means in moist soil with cold. But the cold can be your refrigerator. So a refrigerator is a good temperature for stratification, and then moist stratification is usually what's recommended, some type of moist sand or potting soil that you put the seeds in. Of course, if you put the seeds in there, you can't see them very well. So usually then you end up planting the whole thing with a small amount of moisture with the seed. They're usually good recommendations on flower seed packets, or the company that you buy the seed from will often have on their website specific recommendations for timing for stratification, the cold treatments that many seeds need. So I would recommend really reading the seed packet closely, or looking up online the company that you bought the seed from.
Very good. And as we head out of here, Mary, let's advise our listeners to invite them, I should say, to check out the university website, extension.umn.edu. A lot of great reading. A lot of
wonderful
great information
reading.
There.
Yes,
And get to the Arboretum.
Oh, yes. Wonderful place to visit the Arboretum. And think about your garden resolutions. What were your issues last year? What you might want to change for this coming year?
That's a great idea, especially as we turn colder here for another few days. Great thoughts. Thanks, Mary, as usual. Thanks for all your help.
Always a pleasure, Denny. Thank you.
Right. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.